It's Chris Ryan. Are you ready?
Oh my God, he's scaring me. Come in through the window. Come on, climb all in. Thank you. Okay, close the window. Thank you. It's cold out there. Okay, Chris, how you been? Use the door next.
I'm just excited. We have episode 112 of Tell the Damn Story. And we get to, we get to kind of go over the other side for a little bit this week. Usually it's just me and you when we put these podcasts out, and you never really know if the circle is complete, if anyone listens, right? That's the whole idea of creativity, right? Yeah. You put it out there, and if someone grabs it and makes it their own, then the circle is complete. And this week, we get to see the circle complete at least for a minute, at least for one young man. And I can't wait to talk to him. Matter of fact, if it's good with you, I'm going to throw it over to you and see if we can jump right in. There's a little bit of a backstory and then an introduction. Alex Simmons, it's all you, bro.
Yes, it's all on me. And, you know, who better to carry the weight? Okay. So, in a moment, folks, you'll be introduced to a wonderful young human being. And by the way, you notice that Chris and I both keep saying young because he's definitely younger than us. He's so much younger than us. It's painful. We're blowing dust off of us, and he's just standing there, a ray of sunshine and youth. But I'm going to just quickly tell you before I say his name, I'm going to quickly tell you that this is a young man who has a really great job, and I met him some years ago, completely unrelated to all the things we're going to talk about today. He works at the college where we do the Kids Comic Con every year. That's an event that I've been doing, Children and Families Comic Convention at Bronx Community College for 13 years. This was our 13th year.
And it's called Kids
Comic Con. That's right.
You can look it up.
That's right. We have a website. We are legit. No. Anyway, he came to the event, and he's going to tell a little more of the story from his side, but he came to the event. He enjoyed it. He's got a great family and everything. And, you know, passing him just sort of, that was it, you know, because I'm running around doing all this stuff. A year or so later, he's back, and he's back with something new and something different, which, again, he's going to relate in a moment. And then We're introduced to this something new, this something wonderful, and this gentleman right there. And the next thing I know, he's everywhere. He's everywhere, and he's popping up, and he's on the web, and he's this, and he's that. And it's phenomenal what's happened from this gentleman entering the doors of an event for a family to have fun with his kids and himself. And the next thing we know, he's a peer. So without further ado, we'll throw some more ado in there later. But right now, without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, meet Mr. Juan Espinosa.
Yeah.
Hey, guys. Good morning.
Good morning. Juan, did we give you a legit intro or what?
Yes, sir. That's it. No interview. That's it. Everything is there, right?
Yeah, we're done. Thank you. It was a great episode. See you later. Right.
Thank you, Juan. It's been great. Yeah.
Juan, can you talk to us a little bit about what made you decide to go to the Kids Comic Con?
Sure. First of all, I was not into comics at all, right? So the event was at Bronx Community College where I work at. So I said to myself, let's bring the kids, see what they do in there. That was my first Comic Con ever. First Comic Con ever. So I just went there and for the kids so they can see Spider-Man, Batman, and all those characters. But then I started talking to the first person I talked was Michael Gracia. So I saw his stuff, and then I said, hey, how do you do this? How much time do you spend doing this? How much it costs? So I started asking. I spent like an hour with him, and he was very nice. Just talking, and then
was he forthcoming with the information?
Yes, he got me a lot of good information.
And then what happened?
And then I passed through Mr. Alex Simmons' table.
Well, that's always a scarring experience.
Shut up, you. Yeah. Go ahead, Juan.
So he has a bunch of books that he has written for like Archie and stuff. But I saw The Art of Making Comics. I'm like, that sounds interesting. So that was the only book I bought for the whole Comic Con for myself. And that's
why. Something for the kids, though, right?
Yeah, no, no. The kids have some stuff, but for me, that was the only thing that I bought. And that was the key for me. That made me say, oh, if I follow these steps, I can create a comic book.
And now, you read Alex Simmons's The Art of Making Comics?
Correct.
Did you find it easy to follow?
Yes.
And yes. What happened?
And then I just follow it, and I opened the book after I read it, and I kept looking at the steps. And I write my character. I keep answering the question that's there on the book to fill out my little character's bio. Then when I got the first character, I keep going the second character. And then that's how I just, wow. Boom. Wow. And then all of a sudden, I have this little story on my own.
Now, I want to...
Okay, I'm going to let Chris do that because I got questions for you too. Go ahead, Chris.
Listen, you just enjoy the infomercial. So one of the things that I want to talk about is that you went and you went for the kids and you wanted them to see Spider-Man and you wanted them to see Batman. But when you decided to get creative, there was no costumes. There was no superpowers. One of the most refreshing things about your project is that I've met 100 of these type of people. They are everyday life type people, and I know where they work. I recognized every aspect of the tale you were telling. What made you decide after going and seeing, and even Alex, you go to Alex's table, you chose well because everything else is, Archie and Scooby and Blackjack, and, he's a big adventure guy. So why did you make this unique and refreshing decision?
The key was, after going to Kids Comic Con and getting like that sense of comics, mm-hmm. I went to a bunch of comic stores, right? Looking for technology-based comics.
Mm-hmm.
Like, out of like 20 I went, because I went even in Massachusetts. Everywhere I went to a comic store just to look for stuff like that. And none of them had anything. I'm like, so maybe I should create something. Maybe there's other people like me trying to get something on this gender. So that's why I...
Now, you've inspired 7 more questions, but I want to clarify for the people, and I'd like you to explain your comic. When you're talking about tech, you're not talking about Iron Man tech, right?
No.
You're talking about an IT tech, right?
Yes, correct.
All right. Explain the pitch of your comic. What's the name of your comic and what is it basically about? Like the short elevator pitch.
Okay. So the name of the comic is Adventures of Assistant Ant-Man. And it's basically a college dropout aspiring assistant administrator who is hired in a new company to protect and control the access from people coming into the company. So he's basically the police on the company. So he's trying to prevent those people coming in without
hacking.
Yeah.
And most of it is hacking. Mostly online, right?
Yes, yes.
So that's his IT
which expertise. Means what?
You tell me what IT means.
No, what's IT stand for, Juan?
Information technology.
There you go. Thank you.
Now that his expertise there is really his superpower.
Yes, agree.
And also his morals.
Yeah. So he's always trying to do the right thing, trying to help other people evolve. He's also trying to always learn new stuff by on his own time. And he's very intelligent. That's the key part. So mm-hmm. if you throw him an issue, he's going to figure it out somehow. So he's very intelligent. He's very smart. That's his superpower, if you want to call it like that.
I also want to point out that there's a noble humbleness to him that allows the comic to have this entire secondary marketability. Your character never hesitates to go to other platforms or sources of information for help. And you name those sources. One of the things I wondered is, are those actual resources in the IT world? Because are they, first of all?
Yes, the majority of them, like 90% of them are. Yeah, you can so, the actual tools.
So one of the things that I saw this, there's a great opportunity to market this for young IT, you know, assistant admins and those who have computers in their companies and they want to, in a very nice, polite way, kind of inform people of the do's and don'ts. I think it's like a gold mine there. If you could get that marketed to companies as, hey, well, here's a way to break in your computer, well, guys.
I would even say you could go younger too, because there are a lot of high school and college students who are thinking about this or into IT, you know, and maybe they haven't chosen a career move yet. And here's something that they can read for enjoyment, but also, like you say, you're giving them some real resources. Yeah. Oh, yeah. To pull from.
I'll tell you what, let's just call out right now, all high school computer classes, business class, computer business classes or business classes, you have a great, it's about 2 or 3 weeks of lessons right here in these books. Alex is going to point them out to you.
Right, and the series is called Adventures of a System Admin.
Yeah, it's a great way to introduce those ideas. Both the morals and the responsibility and the resources. I think that's fantastic. So there you go.
Now let's get back to Juan here. So Juan, you were talking.
Are we just doing some marketing for Juan?
Yeah, well, that's really thank you. Truly appreciate that. That was our infomercial. But I want to Juan. So I'm very flattered that my book Art of Making Comics actually helped you get into this and start to develop this. And you said that you did your character bios and one at a time, and you begin to build up the cast for the stories. And Chris asked you about, whether or not, he asked you some of the things that inspired you. Now, you yourself are an IT person, correct?
Yep.
That's my
real job is assistant admin.
Right. Okay. So, folks, he knows what he writes about, right? But the other thing, Juan, is the lead character, what's his name?
It's JJ.
JJ. JJ reminds me a lot of somebody I kind of seem to know, even in terms of his appearance.
So great beard, nice glasses. I don't know.
Amiable personality, very intelligent, nice family. So did you consciously choose to make JJ a reflection of you? And did you make any other choices in building these characters for your story that ties in some way or is inspired by your real life?
Yes. So I first, before reading your book, I had commissioned a group of artists to do myself as a comic character. Mm-hmm. I just want to have myself as a comic character just to have it. So then when I read your book and I start writing the story, so I say, but I already have this character that was created for me. I should use that character, and that was me, and that's how it all began. That's why I choose myself as the main character. Mm. Then the characters around me on the comic are actually based on friends and families.
Mm.
So yeah, I got my mom, my dad, my best friend from high school. So they are all there, and their personality. Resembling their real life.
Okay, so now
he pulled from life.
I got a few questions there.
Yeah.
Mom's loving and quick with the hugs. Dad's a little on that stern side. How did he feel like when you saw himself in the comics?
No, he was fine. he understand what I'm trying to do with the books. And it's not 100% the same person in real life. It's
right, just, of course.
It's
because we are writing fiction, and therefore, all our characters are fiction, so nobody can sue us. That's right.
Well, that's another reason. Yeah, that's another good reason.
It's a work of fiction, damn it.
Chris is thinking, folks. We can see smoke coming out of his ears.
Thank you very much. I want to talk about one of the things I noticed, and I really love about the comic, and that is that your main character speaks with an accent.
Yeah.
And it's so easy to overdo an accent. It's so easy to knock people out of the scene with an accent, you know? But yours, your character's accent is layered in organically. So you kind of, you realize and you start hearing the word choice, the accent, kind of, it kind of comes to you as you go through a few pages. So if I remember correctly, this is kind of your first project. So what decisions did you have to make about how to write how this character speaks? Because not all the characters speak like this.
No, so since I based it on myself, it was easier for me because my first language is not English. My first language is Spanish. So
right. So
I do have that accent. So it wasn't that hard because it's just related to me, right? Mm-hmm. So for the other ones, then it was a little harder for me. and this is new to me. This writing, it's new. I only been writing for 2 years after I read the book.
So it's all my fault, huh? Okay.
Yeah, all this is new. So I did ask for help with some other people that their language is English. Wow. The first language is English, to make it work.
Mm. And you know that's one of the biggest talents you can have is to be able to get over yourself and reach out for help, you know, and get a second, third, fourth, fifth set of eyes and get feedback, and then be open-minded enough to assess what you get and edit, you know, and make it part of the story, right? You choose what you go with and what you don't. That's really a kind of a great role modeling for other aspiring creatives out there that, you know, you took what you knew, but you also turned to others and said, okay, I have this question about this character, or how would this character say this?
It's also a sign of how important the quality of the project is to the creator. Mm-hmm. If you put in that extra time, you go that extra mile, 2, 3, 4, 5, in order to get things right, it means that it's not, I got to do this story because it's cool. It's you're doing the story because you want the story to work. You want it to represent properly. And you want it to appeal to the audiences, to your potential readers and customers and whatever, in a way that they feel like this is genuine. This is cool. This is great. You know, the quality of it matters. And I think that's a sign or an indication in your head.
If you see, when I look the three books that are already out and I see the first one and I see the third one, I see that some growth in there that
oh definitely
by talking to even Alex has taken hours of his free time. Well, he doesn't have free time. His time
that is so right
to work with me and help me with my character, with my story. I have people that I met in Kids Comic Con, like Greg Anderson, Alice, Michael. They had take the time when I needed to, and they helped me out. The community might not be that big, but it is very, very wonderful.
Yeah. Well, now, you know,
go ahead. I was just going to say that
I'm going to make sure everybody who you've mentioned hears this interview, because most of the people that come to KCC come with big hearts, and that's a great thing. The artists that come there, they come to share. And sometimes it's for the fans, because the fans just want to say how much they enjoy the work. But most assuredly, when we meet someone who wants to do this kind of thing and wants to do it to the best of their ability, you know, we really try and be there for you. We really try and support. And it's a really great feeling. And I will take this moment to you know, throw the spotlight on you in saying that it's a really proud moment for me to see what you've done with your project, with the systems admin. You didn't just knock something out. You didn't just do one issue and then talk for the next 30 years about issue two. You've not only set up the first and second and third issue, but you've been doing a lot more, which we're going to, you know, talk to you about. But you've really maintained the quality of your book. And I do see with each issue the growth that you were talking mm-hmm. about. So you're putting in the work yourself. And I know that everybody you've mentioned, including myself, are very happy to be there and support you because we see what you're doing. And I think all of us, I will speak for them for a moment, I think they would all be very proud of what you've accomplished thus far.
I appreciate it. And
two more things to add on to those accomplishments. One, don't overlook the compliment that Alex says that you came out with your second and third issue, because Alex knows way more than I do, but we all know creatives who got that first book going and got that momentum. And, you know, it's many years later and the second book still isn't out, you know, so it's significant. And we may go back to production and all that. So don't worry, we're not letting you off the hook yet.
Yeah.
But I don't want to move on without saying that here's a book where diversity isn't celebrated. There's not a big red arrow pointing to diversity. It's bred into the fabric of the story. It's taken as a fact of life. Yeah, you know what? America's diverse. And
deal with it.
Well, yeah, because, you know, some people forget. And it was beautiful that it was so organic. And I wanted to compliment you on that.
Thank you.
Yeah. Now, you said something in an interview or an article or something somewhere about the representation or the sort of skimpy availability of material out there that represents your particular culture. Do you want to share some of that thought with us?
Well, it was the same when I was looking for a comic based on an IT related stuff. There was nothing out there. Even Hispanic as I am, books, comic books, there was not much connecting our Hispanic roots with technology or even Hispanic by itself doing other stuff. So that's why I also decided to make myself. I could make anybody my main character, but I decided to make myself to put us out there, I guess, in a sense.
Absolutely. And again, as Chris said, you did it in a way that is just a part of life. It's not about, you know, us against them, or it didn't come from an angry place or a destructive place or oh, woe is me place. It's, hey, it's a day in the life of, and dag, look what's going on, you know, and that was...
Yeah, because there's a lot of those already, too. There's a lot of superheroes, a lot of crime stuff. So there's a lot of those out there already. So I didn't want to make the same stuff.
Chris, this guy's trying to be original. What's up with that?
That's all right. A lot, you know.
Well, I love those stories, and I'm currently writing something that is a mythology stories from the Dominican Republic, mm-hmm. but the people have talked about it before. But I want my first project, my baby, I want it to be something special, something unique.
Very cool.
Totally understand that. Chris, you're going to ask something.
Well, I don't want to trash other companies, but sometimes there is a little too much back padding that, look at us. We have a Hispanic character. Here this character is, you know. Or they'll have an African-American character developed one that can stand shoulder to shoulder with some legend that's been around like 80 years, you know, and then some ass clown will come in and say, oh, no, we can't have that, and disappear it and come up with a much weaker. I'll leave it alone, but I'm still mad. I'm still mad, Alex.
It's okay. You're allowed. You're
we'll
allowed.
Explain that another time. Can we talk about production and development? Because, I mean, this is your company. And 2 years ago, you bought Alex's book. But now you've gone through all the steps to create your company and all that. So I know you were talking to some people about prices and all that sort of stuff. You have an artist that does the illustrations. How did you find this person?
So I found it on Twitter. That's the guys that I commissioned to create my character at the beginning, only to have the character. So I found it on Twitter because I follow a lot of technology people. So one of them, they retweeted this group, and it was a comic strip about the guy that retweeted. I'm like, oh, so he's a real life security person, information security guy, and he has a comic. I'm like, So I started following Hacker Strip. That's the name of the group.
Hacker Strip.
Okay. So I started following them
on Twitter.
And when after I read Alex's book, I sent them a message asking the prices and how everything works, because I didn't know what do I have to do when I write. How do I give you that writing so you understand what I want? So we went to a couple of conversations and how usually they deal with it and the prices, how long it takes, how many pages they do. And all those stuff. So we got to an agreement, and he did my first book is very small. He did it like in a month. And the group is a couple. It's a husband and wife.
Is the name of it the one that's printed in your first issue, El Santa?
Correct. That's
yes, yeah. El Santa. I like that. He's the penciler and inker, El Santa.
Yes. His name is what's his name? Adrian.
Okay.
That's his real name. So, and his wife, she does the coloring.
Wow. She does a nice job.
Yeah.
So it's all on computer.
Yes.
And it's so digital. it's you writing and conception, and then you hired them to do the breakdowns, the art, the inking, and the coloring.
Yeah.
Who the lettering?
They do the lettering too.
They do that as well. Fantastic. So I don't want to go too far, so I'm going to ask this very generically, and you decide where you want to go with it. Were they affordable?
Yes.
How surprised were you?
Oh, no. I was super surprised. Even talking to the guys like Greg and talking to
Michael. Newton,
well, I didn't talk about with Michael with about money after I got the book done. But I talked to other people like Greg, because I always talking to Greg. Greg always gave me some good advice, and he even was impressed with the quality of the drawings and the money wise. How much they charged me. So it was very affordable, because I was looking for out there also to other people, and it was kind of, I'm not going to be able to. If I pay this amount, then I'm going to stop at one, because then I have to recover. And so I didn't want to do that. I wanted to keep going. So it's still, you got to make some sacrifices, because nothing is free or very cheap. So but it was decent, yeah.
So I would ask, when you started the project, I mean, you found these people, and you went to discuss production and costs and everything with them. Did you already know in your head you wanted to do more than one issue, or did you have a number in your head as to how many issues you wanted to do?
Yes. So I had an idea of how big it was gonna be, like the story, how long, but not how many like three, four, five. Mm-hmm. But then after the first one, when I finished the first one, I give it to them.
Mm-hmm.
I started working on the other ones, and I at that point I already knew the first arc will be six. So that's good.
Yeah. Excellent. Yeah, halfway there.
I always like to plan ahead. Like when I give them already the one that they're working on it, I'm currently working on like the next two.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
But they're done. If I can, I want them to get going on the next one.
Good. So you're setting up a production schedule. You've not only got a goal and a vision, right? But you set up a production schedule and you're thinking ahead, looking at each of the steps involved. So your productions actually overlap a little too.
Yes.
All right. Okay. So let's talk about that. Is that from that kind of knowledge, then kind of being on top of it? Is that from your IT career, or where did that come from?
People said that it's from IT, that we always like do the steps. But I think I learned from my mom, like be organized and be on top, always go a little ahead so you are prepared.
That's fantastic.
That's my nature and everything, even preparing to go to work. I prepare the day before. So on the day that I got to go out, I'm ready.
That's
my stuff,
Now, I want to put a button on this section and then jump to another section. And the button I want to put on it is Alex and I agree that it's a beautiful comic. And you should be complimented, but so the art staff as well. They did a superb job. It looks gorgeous and very professional. You know, sometimes when we see stuff coming and it's a first attempt or not, you know, there's a big, you got a long way to go and that kind of stuff. But you found some great people. And, congratulations to you and to them for that. So let's talk about, again, there's so many creatives who listen to this for ideas and for inspiration. So let's talk to them about the business end. From the time you read that book, what kind of business thinking did you have to do in business planning? So they have an idea.
Sure. So before reading the book, me and my friend, his name is Johan, we co-founded a company called Sula Web. And the purpose of the company was to create websites for other people.
Mm-hmm.
So we started as a little small business. We created a couple of websites for other people. But then when I went to Kids Comic Con, I kind of wanted to shift my little time, my free time, to actually write books. So I was not so much interested anymore in the website side. And my co-founder, my partner, was leaning towards music. He actually has a book coming out too about music, piano. So he started doing his music. I started doing my comics. So we decided to part ways, and I stood with the name of the company, which was already registered.
Mm-hmm.
So I started writing the comics, but I was not trying to sell the comics for money or anything like that. But then my wife and actually my partner, ex-partner, they told me, but you have a company already registered. Why don't you take advantage and sell the book, go to events, put it out there, put it in comic store, I'm like, well, that sounds good. So that's how it all started as a company business, basically.
You know, it's the power of people saying yes.
Let me go
why
back.
Why not? What if?
Just for clarity. So when you said you were doing the first book, you weren't really thinking about selling it. So did you see that as a hobby, or were you just curious what it would be like?
Yes, I saw it like a hobby and to see how it was going to look, how people maybe will see it.
I see. So you were curious. It was a hobby. It was something you could almost, you know, something you could do for yourself.
Yes, okay. Yes.
And then your ex-business partner and your wife both suggested, hey, you've got a company. Why don't you see about selling this as an actual property, as a product? And how did that hit you? I mean, you said you decided to go along with it, but what did it feel like when you started to rethink that process?
Well, first I was very hesitant because I'm kind of shy. So I know the business, you got to deal with so many stuff. You got to go out there and sell your, you got to sell it. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, but then my wife kept telling me, I can help you out because she's more outgoing. And I said, okay, so let's try it. And that's when I tried and things were going good. So, and here we are. I just kept going. But if it wasn't for my wife, I would just put it out there. And
oh, finally, it's somebody else's fault. Thank you.
So your wife goes to cons with you or what?
Yeah, no, my whole family to all the cons. Yeah.
You guys see that.
Every time.
We so go they, to they, the do they work the table with you?
Yes.
And who's the most vocal?
My daughter and my wife.
That's fantastic. Yeah. So you
How old is your daughter?
A lot.
My daughter is 5.
Yeah.
That is great.
Yeah. What did she say? You got to see this. It's fantastic.
She stay on the front of the table. She gets flyer to everybody that passed by. And she said, come buy my dad's book. This is my dad.
Oh, that's the best. I don't know if I could ever say no. The 5-year-old gave me a flyer, told me to buy her dad's book. I'm in.
I gotta just throw this in there. I don't think they started out at age 5, but Jerry Kraft is a dear friend, the great artist. Uh-huh. He's got a book out right now with, I forget the name of the major company. Forgive me, Jerry, but it's called The New Kids, a graphic novel he's got out. Sure. It's fantastic. But Jerry used to do very much what you're doing now. He was created his own series called Mama's Boy. He published the books himself, and he would do the conventions and the street fairs and things. And his two sons, very young sons, would be at the table, working the table with dad, and sometimes mom would be there, and it was a family thing. And it was watching these boys grow up from, not toddlers, maybe they were like 12, 13 when I first met them, but up to the point where they were literally getting ready to graduate from high school, and they were still at the tables, and you could see the difference in personalities. One was the showman. One was to pull the people into the table, get them looking at it and stuff. The other one was business. Business. I got your card right here, ma'am. Yeah, I can swipe this. I can do this. That's going to be such and such as the money here.
That's a great team.
A great team. And the fact that I've seen your wife and your daughter in action. Yeah, you got it, boy. You got it.
My guys are too old. They don't want to hear anything about that. And once in a while, my wife will come for a book convention. And you can't, you just look at those big brown eyes and you got to buy something from her. But, that's not happening on a daily basis, I don't know. I
might have to listen. We don't have to have a listen to
this podcast. That's what I'm going to do.
my family is always with me. Even when we go to the comic store to give our books out, so they can sell it, they always go with me. They go with me everywhere.
So how many stores have you gotten the book into?
I'm sorry?
How many stores have you gotten the book into?
Stores? Around 7 or 8 in New York City.
Now, what area are they located in?
Manhattan, the Bronx, Brooklyn. I have some in Long Island.
So when you come out with a new book, you got to do that. That tour and drop.
Yeah, I do that tour. Yeah.
The admin tour. You haven't heard about the admin tour?
Yeah, well, he's a whole different kind of admin / pub now,
Are you only selling through the stores or do you have it available in other places?
No, I have it available online on my website and also on all digital platforms like Amazon, Apple, Comixology.
Even Barnes and Noble. Check that. Yeah. Even Barnes and Noble.
Well, it's hard to get in. My books aren't in Barnes and Noble, so yeah, that's a good accomplishment, man. Yeah, that's very cool.
Thank you.
How the hell did you do that? No.
And then there's something.
It was
else
the 5-year old. It was the 5-year old.
Right. She went to.
She went up to Barnes and Noble.
Juan, there's something else that you did, and I don't remember whether it was recent or a year ago. Your book. You wrote it in English, and they've been published in English, but you also have them out in
Spanish.
Yeah, well, it's cool. a little volume there, bro.
Spanish.
Yeah. Be proud. That's cool.
Go. How did that come about?
My family, actually my mom. So she's, I'm very proud of you. You got a book out. But I don't understand. She doesn't speak English. So mm-hmm. I say, and then my aunt starts saying the same thing. I'm like, okay, so let's try to give you a Spanish version. So that's why now in every book I do a Spanish version as well. So all my books are English and Spanish.
Who did the translation?
My wife.
Of course.
That's cool. Okay. God bless her.
I was going to say, I was going to say his daughter, you know.
I didn't realize this was going to be a great family episode, but it is. Just to be clear, you can buy a paper copy in English or Spanish?
No, I only have the Spanish version digitally.
All right, so on but all I'm those planning, major platforms, you can choose the language. That's fantastic.
Yeah, but I'm planning to do the Spanish version physically through Amazon.
Through Amazon.
Okay, cool.
So Adventures of a Systems Admin, issues 1-3, mm-hmm. are available in English in both paper or hard copy as well as digital. But right now, the Spanish version of the books are only available in a digital form.
That's correct. All
right. Okay.
Let's look into the future. You said that this first adventure is 6 issues long.
Yeah.
All right. Once you do the 6 issues, will there be a trade paperback?
Yes.
Look at that. No hesitance.
Will the trade paperback be available in print in English and Spanish?
Gotta think about the Spanish one, but all English right. definitely.
Especially if you go through Amazon.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
And they can order it in digital, on Kindle or in print.
Yeah.
That would be fantastic. One of the reasons I'm asking is that I
Why are you asking, Chris?
Well, my daytime identity is at work in Hackensack High School, and we have a very large Hispanic student population. And I think they would love both versions, So I'm definitely order a handful of the print as they are now. But should you choose, I would definitely do the trade pack back down the block and, put them in there. It's just it's the greatest thing to have them come in and they ask. We have a very young librarian now. She's a Latina, but her name is Mrs. Kennedy, so a little something for everybody. But, that we do on through my journalism class, we do What to Read Wednesday, and now it features What's Miss Kennedy Reading, and she'll, so we'll get her to hold them up and that kind of stuff, and we'll get a couple, a handful of them, the different issues. And you know what will happen, though, is they'll disappear very quickly. That's all right. That's fine.
Just to get a little serious for a moment here, because, Lord knows why. But I think it's very key that this kind of material, which is entertaining, at the same time informative, gets out there into the teen and older population, because I feel bad saying it, but it is a reality. A lot of young people, especially young people of different cultures or color, are not exposed to potential future gigs, jobs, careers that are outside of, fast food, whatever. And I got no problem with it if that's what you want to do, but I don't want kids thinking that's all they can do. Mm-hmm. To allow them to see the bigger playing field and to realize, wait a minute, you mean if I do X and Y, I might actually get Z? I could actually go for that thing? Or maybe even just, maybe they don't even know this. I mean, I'll do a very quick story, very, very quick. I used to do, in terms of a graphic design project with young people, teen and college age, I used to have them design their own web page, just the mechanics of it, not the mechanics of it, rather, but just the look of it. And it was a bio page. And it would be them talking about, not only what they're into, but what they want to be. And a lot of the young people didn't realize that even graphic design, designing the cover, the look of a package on a box or a bottle, any of those things, was a job.
Man.
They didn't even realize it was a job. It was something that had always been in their life, but they never thought someone is out there doing this. And the game players, the video game players, who are dropping, you know, $50 to $80 a pop on a game before streaming was even that popular, they're investing all this money in this thing they're doing, and some are really good at the games. They've got all kinds of things figured out and strategies and codes. And I said, so you ever think about maybe one day working in the industry? And you see this blank expression.
Yeah.
So I think the fact that your book does exist, or I should say, let me do it a different way. Your books shine a light on an avenue that many probably don't even think about, and yet is such a major part of their everyday lives. You know, from the sides, yeah. I mean, it's controlling so much of what we do. I think that that's a great thing. And I think schools would definitely be a great conduit for this kind of material reaching, you know, the younger ages.
You have to get a tax number. Alex will be able to tell you about that.
To a bunch sell of things to them. Involved there. But yeah, I'm just saying, I think the material should be out
more
there.
More research on that. But yes, and also, you know, not just the reality of you as a publisher, you know, that you know, they need to see, it can include me, you know? Mm-hmm. So many people don't think that the world can include them. And I spend an inordinate amount of energy trying to break that thought down, you know? But even if they read the comic, everybody in that comic who is working in a business for their career, it looks like them, you know? And JJ had to make some strategic decisions, and he got the heat of his parents, and it didn't happen immediately. So there's that tension of putting out resumes and waiting and putting out resumes and waiting. And I'm spoilers, sorry. And then you know, the story kicks in and all that. I won't spoil anymore, but it was so recognizable. You know,
yeah.
I have former students come in, and the challenges of the real world become real after high school. And again, that's another level of value in this particular piece. You know, I had two kids come to me about 2 weeks ago, and they're ready to drop out. And they were like, you know, it's not like of college.
Ah.
They're at Bergen Community College. And they was like, it's not like high school where, you know, we were like the kings of the building. I said, yeah, I told you that 22 times. We weren't really listening. Well, you know, now you are.
Yeah.
And the idea is that, you know, you have to keep pushing. And you show that character pushing that there's so much value there for a student to casually read. And it becomes almost a subliminal message. You know, it was one of the reasons I was so excited to do this interview, because there is so much there beyond the surface and the glory of the images and that kind of stuff. Again, congratulations, man.
And I also want to say that, you know, a lot of the times people that I meet either doing appearances or cons or master classes or whatever, and I travel quite a bit. So I'm not just talking about people in my local area, but nationally or internationally. A lot of them don't have the support as they pursue that question about what can I do with my future? You know, where can I go? You know, what can I accomplish or am I doomed to? You know, they don't have a support system. And I think it's great not only that you took this shot for yourself, but that it includes your family. I mean, you know, the image of your daughters, you know, handing out the flyers is going to stick with me all day. That's for sure.
Oh, that's sure.
Yeah, but the other image of
don't forget the wife.
Yeah, well, I was about to say the other image, the wife who told him to sell this, right? You
know, yeah.
The other image is the family supporting your dream, the family working with you to accomplish certain things, the family chiming in, you being influenced by the family in terms of not only some of the characters in your story, but also your aunt and your mother saying, I'm proud of you for doing this, but I can't read it. You know, and you going, yeah, you know, you're right. Let me hook that up, right? And then moving forward on that, and then pursuing business as well as personal goals is what you've accomplished here, and that in and of itself, whether somebody's talking comic books or becoming a mechanic or starting some sort of, you know, food services position, personal and business. This is what I want to do for me. How do I do it? How do I support it financially as well as? Those are all things that you've just shared with us as you've gone through your journey. And, of course, your journey is still at its early stages. So, boy, more adventures to come.
Yes, oh, sir. Yeah. And you know, there's a real business opportunity with the Spanish language version and the English version. There's, you know, the comic books shops, the Barnes & Noble, the online Amazon and Comixology. But I think, you know, as you continue to evolve as a businessman, you will see, wow, you know, there's a school avenue for these. And I can write some, you know, some activities and questions for afterward. And there's it. If you don't get to any of those without a support system that tells you, yes, you can, you know, and I'm surprised. I didn't expect that from this episode, but it's such a valuable additional point to make. You know, surround yourself with people who believe. And if they don't believe, go and find new friends. Right. You know, the value of my, you know, of my wife in my life is incalculable, you know, and it sounds like the same situation with you, you know. Yes. So, boy, we have sent so many messages out today about allowing yourself to be inspired to tell the damn story, doing the research to figure out how to tell the damn story, doing the work and finding the people to help you tell the damn story, surrounding yourself with people who say, we want you to tell the damn story.
Right. And putting them in the damn story.
And getting it out there and putting it in the language so people can tell themselves the damn story. So that you were really a valuable a guest today. So
yeah. And not, Juan, not, closing, not that we're closing yet, folks. That was a big plug for our show. but what I wanted to ask you now, I mean, you've been on this journey for how long now?
2 years.
Is it only 2 years?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So 2 years from nothing about comics to having 3 issues out and going. And by the way, 3 issues out and some of it in another language as well. You're also in circulating in several platforms and stores, which is great. How does this feel to you? I mean, this 2 year journey, what does it feel like?
It feels like a new beginning, a new life. Mm. I was missing out of all this great stuff that the community has. So I even put my WhatsApp tag, or I don't know, it's been there for a while, because it says like something, the comic community just changed my life, and it has been great since the day I went to my first Comic Con. Because I met so many new people. I don't like when people, new kids, a lot of kids are saying, like, no new friends. That doesn't make sense to me.
Mm.
What do you mean, no new friends? You always got to evolve. You cannot stay in the past. You got to meet new people. You got to learn from them. They got to learn from you. So that's what I did. I found a lot of... I call you friends because you are my friends. You helped me out.
You've helped us, too. Let me share also, just since we're talking friendship here, aside from coming to Comic-Con, Kids Comic-Con, and gaining something from us that's affected his life, he and his family returned to us and helped us. This past one, they were volunteers at the event. And I mean, they came, everything from not only the day of the event helping out, but they came and they helped bag some of the little like comics and freebies that we give away to the kids. They came in for like an hour or two and worked with another of our volunteers, Maureen Britt, and bagged stuff. There's nothing exotic and particularly adventurous about that, but they came in and they helped out. There's all these different things that they've done for us and with us from behind the scenes. And by the way, he's become a fan of our books, and we, as now we're a fan of yours. And so, you know, we've shared insights with, you know, the gaining and building up of the books. And so that in a way now we are supporting each other in our moves, our publishing moves, and our growth as artists. So you're right. You do need to continue to expand your horizons and meet new people and try and learn from that experience. And as you said, also sometimes teach, you know, sometimes you entering a person's life, whatever benefits we may have given to you, you've also given to us. And mm-hmm. so we're really very happy to know you. I personally am three times thrilled that an event of mine and a book of mine and
a podcast
have led you to this place. And I just want to watch you just go further. You know, that's one of the reasons I asked you, how do you feel? Because you've accomplished a lot. You really have in just 2 years. And I hope that aside from the joy you get from it, I hope you also get to really experience the gift that you've given to others.
Thank you. Yes. Thank you guys for being there always.
Well, you're gonna be back, you know, a few more times. We're gonna keep an eye on you.
in about three issues, we want to hear from you again.
We forgot one thing before we go away. You mentioned that your wife and your ex-business partner said use this company to go forward with your product here and publish this and everything. And I've heard rumors recently that you're coming up with another company or you're changing that. What are you doing? Because it has an interesting tag. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like a small rebrand because Sula Web is not like comic related or what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. So what I did was rebranded to Bearded Men Comics because of
my... Yeah,
there you go.
It's like the Smith Brothers here, man. Yeah.
So we created like an alias for the Sulawak company. Mm-hmm. And then we are working on seeing the trademarks and all those good stuff. Mm-hmm. But that's what we did because I also want to come with different stories, different series.
Series. You want to do other series?
Yeah, I'm already halfway on a separate one, the mythology stories. So the cover is gonna come like I think at the end of the month.
And then the third project, Beard Man.
The third project is actually about a kid that has a multi personalities. Okay. So I wanna show people like. That even though they have all those struggles, that they are actually a regular person. That you gotta be patient with them. That you gotta. So that's cool. That's my third also project. So those are the three.
Amazing.
Ladies and gentlemen, keep an eye on Bearded Man Comics because things are happening.
Yeah, and keep an eye on Juan Espinosa because he's doing it.
He's telling the damn story. He definitely.
You know, Juan and the family Espinosas.
Issue 4 for Adventures is also almost at the end on the drawing part. So it might come at the beginning of next year.
So hopefully maybe January, February.
It's Comic Con, we have our fourth issue over there to present. Yeah.
Yeah, hey, good. And meanwhile, I got mine in digital form and hard copies.
There you go.
Yep. Okay. Well, Juan, thank you so much for joining us here today, man. Really
appreciate it very much.
For having me. It's always great to listen to you, and now I'm being part of the podcast. That's so crazy, insane.
We'll save this episode for you.
Yes.
It's great. Chris, as usual?
Always a pleasure, and today it was a double pleasure because we got to hang out with Juan as well. This has been a very cool thing.
Yeah, absolutely. So you guys, I wish you both a great, great day, a great week, a great life, all that good stuff. Juan, give my best to your family. Chris, give my best to your family.
Right back at you, brother.
You got it, brothers. Okay, both of you, thanks very much. Everybody, thank you so much. Please write in, leave comments, let us know what you think of the episode. If you have any questions, send those in. If you want to know more about Juan, where can they find you?
Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, Gordy Don, GORDIDON.
I'll leave a link in the comment section for you guys to find too. Okay, so because that's a tricky one there.
Oh, Bearded Man Comics also. everywhere.
Well, that's another one.
Bearded Man comics.
Bearded Man. That's easy. Comics. That'll get you.
I'll leave, like I said, I'll leave a link in the comment section for everybody who wants to check them out. Okay. Again, so, guys, have a great one. Take care and a pleasure.
Peace.
Yeah.
Peace.
All right.